News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, it's 2:23 p.m. Let me just tell you, I've already got response to that one. So aside from the fact that copper was melting down during the Right Side Way there with all the stuff about the pregnant man emojis and stuff like that, I got a text from Chris at Bellwether Technology. Where'd it go? I just lost it. Hang on a second. I'm going to find it. There it is. He just, and by the way, Bellwether Technology is about to be doing a thing with us starting Monday. Once a week, they have a thing called the Cyber Minute where they're going to sort of explain the world of cyber, the world of, you know, the electronic world that I do not understand at all. But nonetheless, he just sent me a thing and said, on that autocorrect thing, Copper, the thing about, you know, that changes your phrases and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it's more than just even highlighting it and suggesting text changes. It also means they are tracking who says what and thinks what, which can also lead to, you know, people being tracked and being canceled or having removed from their services. In other words, and I get his point. So what he's saying there is, if you had that feature on your computer and your boss decided to come and say to you, why'd you use Fireman instead of Fireperson? I know you have the ability to change it. It highlighted it for you. But you just choose not to do it? Then you know, so here we are looking at another way of tracking behavior. Which, by the way, Chris says is probably going to be now that he's heard the monologue, it's going to be one of his cyber minutes coming up. So there's that. And then, of course, Caitlin just texted in and sort of wished that I had not used the song Copacabana by Barry Manilow as a because now it's stuck in her head already. That song is like a, what songs get stuck in your head, Copper? Have you got any like that you avoid? Like anything by Paul Simon, I avoid. I can't.
Oh, maybe can't. Some Disney songs. You know, I never really watched Disney that much, but they can be really annoyingly catchy.
Oh, they can. In fact, my grandson, who is 2.5, he is a huge fan of the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Huge fan of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Big doings. And so the theme to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse when he's at our house plays, and then I'll find myself like, you know, 2 hours later walking down the hall singing it to myself.
That's great.
But since it's from him, I'm fine with it. It's all good. All right. Hey, folks, listen, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM/FM here at AM 770, 92.5, the WVNN channels, it doesn't matter. No matter where you are in the world, for that matter, you can go and just download the streaming on our website. I say download. Click on the streaming on our website. Just go to rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live. And what I always say is no matter where you is, there we is. Through the magic of technology, suddenly you can hear the show no matter where you are in the world. That's why we have so many people that call in from out of state. You know, they call in from all over. And what's very cool is on that same website, rightsideradio.org, are some other things, some other features that you need to know about, one of which is podcasts. So when you hear Copper's Corner, or you hear me do a monologue or an interview with somebody or whatever else, if you want to hear it again, or you missed it, or you want to send it to somebody, or you're a podcaster and you want to re-listen and sort of pick up the nuances of what we were talking about, we got all of them on there. So it doesn't matter what form of podcasting you use, whether it be Apple or Amazon or Podbean or any of the others, we're on there. Birdman's got it all set up. And we have right now over 23,000 downloads of it. Well, last night, Copper, we were together all last night at an event. I think you had already left. Were you there when Birdman was showing us the stats on that?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know, we have like, I've forgotten how many thousands of people are actually downloading our stuff, but it's all over the world.
Wow.
It's crazy. There was like, I think the third largest in terms of countries downloading this is like in Cyprus. I don't know, but okay. There were 17 people in Iraq that had downloaded podcast elements from the show. There were hundreds from Canada. And then of course a huge number here in the United States. And then it went out and it looked at what states were doing it. He had a map that was highlighted. We got a bunch of folks in California downloading the podcast.
Oh.
So I think we're doing ministry on that one.
Yeah.
We're reaching out there into the fertile soil of California. But yeah, folks, all that is on our website, rightsideradio.org. And then lastly, I will tell you this on that before we hit to the break, is we just started the Right Side Store. You go to the website And I love this. We now have at the top of the website on the homepage, it says the right side store, a button. You can just hit the button, takes you to the merchandising. So now we have t-shirts and coffee mugs. And my favorite, we have socks of all things, socks. I have a pair. I love them. So you can order stuff. And this week we've been doing a promo. Since it's our grand opening week, you go to the right side store. And as you're checking out, enter the promo code right side because you heard it on the air and you get a 10% discount. In fact, Birdman said that somebody bought something yesterday and he could tell they had not used the promo code. So use that promo code, save yourself 10%. Big doings. All that on rightsideradio.org. This is too much fun. This is just too much fun. All right, folks, listen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio is what we are. Solid, conservative, and just plain right is also what we are. Right here on WVNN, we'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Sitting here in the most studious studio having a cup of Just Love coffee. I really am. I really do. When I say that, I ain't making it up. I really do. I order their coffee and keep some right here at the studio so I can make a cup while I'm talking. Hey, by the way, Copper, Birdman just sent me the stats on that California thing I told you about on the podcast.
Yeah.
So of the 23,300-ish downloads that we have as of today, 1,800 of those have come from California.
Ooh.
That's
wow.
That's crazy. That's yes, a fertile ground for ministry, I would say. Yes. All right. Hey, listen, moving in the number one of the triple dipper here. I'm calling this Alabama elections by the numbers. And I can't do all of them. I mean, there have been some nuances. There have been some unusual things that have happened in the last few days because today is the end of qualifying for the Republican Party. I should know, but last I heard, the Democrats aren't doing a true qualifying. I'm not sure what they're doing, but we are at least not closing it out the same way that the Republicans are. But we are seeing right now the end of qualifying for all Republican candidates today. So by 5 o'clock today, we'll know who's in and who's not. Speculations will be over. Races will be set. Everybody's off to the primaries. Now, the interesting dynamics that have been occurring this week are, apparently, I did not see this, and I haven't seen much of a press release, but I'm told that Jim Ziegler, our state auditor, who people have speculated was going to run for governor, has actually signed up to run for Secretary of State. So that's going to be interesting dynamic. Wes Allen, who is seen as the front runner for Secretary of State right now, who already had one challenger, I just forgot who it was, but he already had one challenger, but it was not going to be one who came with a lot of name ID. Wes Allen now has to deal with Jim Ziegler, who has a lot of name ID and who is known for getting out and about and getting around the state. So, and has been the state auditor. So he's run a state campaign, even though auditor typically is a low budget campaign by comparison to governor and all that. It still put him on a statewide ballot multiple times. So that's going to be interesting. And the other thing, and I have heard from multiple sources. So just, y'all keep this to yourself, just on the QT, you know what I'm saying? Just me and you. But what I heard this week from two or three different locations, basically two or three unaffiliated locations, was that Kay Ivey right now is seen as being far more vulnerable than ever, and that Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth came like within inches of deciding to switch races and just run against her as a governor for the governor's race. Now that would have been interesting. I mean, that would have been huge. So yeah, you were sitting there right there. If you're looking at it, I mean, rumors abound as to why that would be. But most people perceive that what's happening is all of her popularity sort of came to a head during COVID when she really wasn't doing much. And when you combine that with people remembering the gas tax, because not everybody's forgotten it. They were hoping everybody would forget about it. But when you combine the gas tax and some of the other things with the heavy spending and the growth of government and signing the medical marijuana bill and encouraging people to pass the gambling casino monopoly bill And then on top of that, not really being much of a help when it came to, you know, closing down businesses during COVID. All said and done, if you want to put money into a campaign and portray her as not being very conservative, you'd be right. And apparently Will Ainsworth came real close. All right, there's that. There's your rumor mongering out of the way. But let's talk about what's real. So, I found an article on The Hill, thehill.com. Thehill.com has a whole article, and I'll take the two top races is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the U.S. Senate race for a bit, and then I'll talk about the governor's race. But the U.S. Senate race is featured in thehill.com as one of those to watch around the nation because it's going to be such a dogfight, and it is. I mean, right now, y'all, one of three is going to be your next U.S. senator. One of three. It's either going to be Mo Brooks, Congressman Mo Brooks, or BCA President Katie Britt, or private businessman and veteran Mike Durant. It's going to be one of those three. So as we watch it, and it points out this is a dogfight because the polls are tightening up. So for a long time, it was considered to be Mo Brooks' race to lose, if you know what I mean. Basically, it's Brooks' race because he came in, he's got the name ID, he's a current sitting congressman, he's known for being conservative, and he has the Trump endorsement. And then, sure enough, Senator Shelby's former chief of staff, Katie Britt, who is has most recently been the president of the Business Council of Alabama, which is like, you know, like the Chamber of Commerce for business groups, kind of, and has entered in the race and gotten a lot of what we would call the establishment backing. She has, you know, all the endorsements from the major business associations. She raised a lot of money, and she began a what in inside political circles would refer to as a name ID. Campaign push. In other words, it's all the things to do to get the world to know who Katie Britt is. So you're seeing, like, Alexandra Shannara should have this many billboards. I mean, she's out there right now saying, here I am, here's what I stand for, all to get the name ID up. Well, apparently it's working because she began climbing in the polls while Mo Brooks was declining in the polls, and it tightened up. Well, then Mike Durant got in. Oh, this is interesting. So Mike who? Mike Durant. Who's Mike Durant? Black Hawk Down? Oh, that guy? Yeah, Mike Durant, Army veteran, career service, was a POW when his Black Hawk helicopter was shot down in the Battle of Mogadishu, Somalia in 1993. Successful businessman. He is seen as the guy who has... So we have... Anyway, here's the bottom line. I'm rambling. TheHill.com is reporting that what you have here is what they call a clash of resumes, and I agree. Three entirely different type of candidates, each coming in with their own level of constituencies, duking it out for an open seat. Wow. So, yeah. Now, I saw, well, let me just tell you what's in this thing first. Started off with Britt has had the luxury of not having to be in D.C. Brooks has had to do his job. So Brooks has been up in D.C., having to deal with Nancy Pelosi's, you know, calling all the sessions on bills that weren't going to pass and whatever else, and dealing with, you know, the January 6th commission and the accusations by the lawsuit by, you know, Swalwell. Which, by the way, I think in Alabama does nothing but help him, to be honest. But Britt, at the same time, has had plenty of opportunities now to run the state, and she has allegedly been in every single one of our 67 counties meeting people and doing what we call retail politics, getting out there and shaking hands and kissing babies. And she raised a ton of money. She actually set a record. She raised $3.3 million in one quarter last year. I think that was third quarter of last year, whereas Brooks raised $1.8 million. Oh, that looks like something. So when you're taking campaigns by the numbers, you look at two things, polls and dollars. Polls and dollars. Right now, it looked like going into the end of the year that Katie Britt was tightening up the polls and raising more dollars. That shows momentum. Then Mike Durant got in and rocked their world, apparently. So all of a sudden, Mike Durant came out of nowhere in the first poll. Within a month or so of him getting in the race and starting his ad campaign, bam, he had like 12% out of nowhere. Like, wait a minute. Katie Britt was at 12% just a couple months ago, and she's the president of the BCA, and she's been in Alabama, and she's been Shelby's chief of staff, and she's the establishment pick. And bam, Mike Durant comes in and gets 12% right off the bat. Next poll we had, Mike Durant had 16.6%, and Britt and Brooks were in the mid-20s. And then, Jessica Taylor, who was still in the race, dropped out. Well, she had like, 7.7% or something like that? And she dropped out and endorsed Mike Durant. So you wonder, will the next poll show that all of her numbers went over? I don't know. We'll find out. However, where's that story? Hang on a second. I'm getting out of my order here. I got all my notes. So here's this. Story from U.S. News, October 18th. Katie Britt dominates fundraising in Alabama Senate race. Okay, I just told you. She did. She raised $3.76 million total, including $1.5 million in the previous quarter. So that's in October, except you look at it, like I said, Brooks had raised 1.79. However, then came Mike Durant. January 12th, Alabama Daily News reported that Mike Durant raised $4.3 million in the fourth quarter. Wow. Now, what we don't know yet is where it came from. All right, so the reports are going to get filed next week. I believe that's correct. I think they have to file by the end of January what they did in the previous quarter, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think that's right. Which means they'll have to list their donors. And they'll have to say where it came from and all that. So we don't know. Did he self-fund? He apparently has developed wealth through successful business practices. So did he self-fund this? Did it come from a super PAC or what? We don't know. Or did he just raise a ton of money because people want to see him and they've been sending in their lunch money and that adds up too? We'll find out. So those reports are coming out. But by the numbers, what you've got in the U.S. Senate race is literally the polls are tightening up. Now, here's the deal. Before I get to the break, let me just tell you what the polls were showing, and I'll tell you about another poll that is really not out there, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway because I got a copy of a page of it. Where'd it go? I got to pull it up on my phone because I had the guy text it over to me. Yeah. I don't want to say I've got sources, but apparently I've got sources. But anyway, here's the deal. A firm called McLaughlin & Associates, which is a very reputable national polling firm, they actually did some of my race when I was running in the state Senate, but they polled back in December, and they polled then that in the U.S. Senate race, if it was just Britt and Brooks, like if they got into a runoff and there were just the two of them, that Katie Britt was actually ahead 38-36. Interesting. However, in the full race, like a primary race, with all the candidates still in, at that point, Mike Durant, 16.6%, Jessica Taylor with 4%, Jessica Taylor, and then Brooks had 31 to Britt having 26. Okay, so what you have there was a more of a spread. The primary spread still had those two together. However, new poll. I don't have sourcing for you. I can't tell you what kind of poll it was. All I know is this. The poll that is being floated, and I've got a copy of the graphics off of one of them, is that right now, this poll alleges that out of 1,255 people polled, which is a pretty good slice, a good segment, it shows Katie Britt at 23. She's dropped, according to this one. Mo Brooks up to 33. He's gone up. Mike Durant at 25 now, and undecided at 18. What that would tell you by the numbers is that if you're looking at this poll, if this poll's legit, if you look at the fact that Mike Durant just reported a $4.3 million haul and he just went up to 25%, I would say at this point, if that's true, the trends, the numbers in the U.S. Senate race point to Mike Durant having the most momentum. However, Mo Brooks, if he's back up to 33, if he reports a whole lot of money that just came in, which will be interesting, we'll see his report soon, then I would say that it's a Durant and Brooks race at that point. We'll see, folks. That's a whole lot of speculation. Let's go to the break right now, Copper. When I get back from this, I'll take a few minutes, and I'll break down some of the numbers on the governor's race. They're kind of the same, kind of different, kind of interesting. We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We're talking Alabama elections by the numbers. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We're talking right now, first part of our triple dipper for the day. We're talking about Alabama elections by the numbers. So, yeah, let me wrap up the Senate piece, and I'll just tell you this. So, some things you gotta watch for. And by the way, it draws the ire. Every candidate gets mad at the other candidate because they're supported by the super PAC. You've got the evil super PAC from out of state, and sometimes they are. So, right now, every one of them has their own version of big, heavy funders. All right? So, Mo Brooks is heavily supported by an organization called Club for Growth. Club for Growth is based out of D.C. They are known for being extremely conservative, and they will go after people. And they're one of the few PACs, by the way, that decides to get involved in primaries. A lot of them kind of keep their powder dry to see who the candidate will be in the general election. They don't get in the fight in the primaries. No, Club for Growth, they have a philosophy that says, hey, we want the right person in the general election, so we're going to go fight the primary wars. And they do. And they are known for coming in there, and they will run ads put a pretty negative light on the other candidates. And at the same time, the things they stand for are things that this show stands for. So it's an odd conundrum. Politics gets kind of dirty. At the same time, it's an organization that you like. Wow. So Club for Growth supports Mo Brooks. Katie Britt is supported by what would be called the business establishment. She's been touted by almost every business group in the state. On the one hand, you think that's fine, right? But then you consider some of them, what do they stand for? And so you have to look at these business groups and recognize that some of them were fighting to raise your gas taxes because they wanted it because they made money themselves. Some of them were organizations that were fighting to have the casino bill passed. So you look at the groups and you decide, okay, are they aligned with what I believe in? Because they are heavily now involved, largely in her race, in terms of the three candidates. And then you have Mike Durant. Mike Durant, there's a swirl of controversy that the other candidates are pointing fingers at. He's being supported by a super PAC run by a veteran named Jake Harriman. It's a super PAC called More Perfect Union. And More Perfect Union, on the one hand, sounds great. And yet, rumors are swirling that they are what you would call a centrist or a moderate. They're trying to help people like Mitt Romney and Susan Collins and that kind of stuff. So I don't know how to go ahead and break this down for you, except for you to be aware. So do your research and decide what you think. So as you look at elections by the numbers, you got three super PACs. Well, I take it back. Three types of entities that are involved. Club for Growth, Mo Brooks. A More Perfect Union super PAC for Mike Durant, and then the Business Council of Alabama's membership and business interests, it's kind of the establishment interests backing Katie Britt. If one of those fits in your wheelhouse, there you go. But what's interesting is every one of them be supported by their own and then fuss about the others. Hey, listen, I think what I'm going to wind up doing is keeping my powder dry, to use that phrase again, continuing this regarding the governor's races. Because we got too much there to unpack. But I'll tell you what we're going to do, though. I'm kind of looking forward to this. Top of the hour, I got to thinking. So I got these two sharp folks here that work with Right Side Radio. We got Copper and Birdman. And they both do an amazing job at the things that keep this show on the air. I mean, I'm the one that expends most of the oxygen at the microphone. Copper comes on and does her piece sometimes. Birdman is called in once or twice. But I got to thinking, you know what? How about we just take a minute and see what they think? They're both 20 somethings, one male, one female. They're conservative. I trust their opinions, and they might not even agree for all I know, and I don't care. There's no test here. I want to hear what they think, though. So in a few minutes, we're going to come back from the break, and what I think is going to be kind of cool is just to sort of ping them a little bit on what are you looking for in a governor? What do you like in a U.S. senator? Does it matter to you or your generation, you know, that Kay Ivey is in her upper 70s? Does it matter to you that Katie Britt's like in her late 30s? How does all that fit into your thinking? And what do you want in a candidate? Do you look for energy? Do you look for principles? Do you look for policies? All the above? So that's going to be interesting. But folks, this is the kind of thing too. This show is here for, by the way. I've said all along, if this show can get on the air and every single day find some way to do what I call the four E's, to enlighten and empower and educate and entertain on what it means to be a conservative in today's Alabama, then by golly, we're hitting the mark. All right, listen, we're going to come right back with Copper and the Birdman. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.